ॐ गणानाम् त्वा गणपतिगम् हवामहे कवे नामुपमश्र ॐ श्रीमन्महागणाधिपतये नमः ॐ आप्यायन्तु ममाङ्गानि वाक्प्राणश्चक्षुश्रोत्रमथो बलमिन्द्रियाणि च सर्वाणि सर्वम् ब्रह्मोपनिषदम् माहम् ब्रह्म निराकुर्याम् मा ब्रह्म निराकरोत् अनिराकरणमस्व निराकरणम् मे अस्तु तदात्मनि निरतेय उपनिषत्सु धर्मास्ते मयि सन्तु ते मयि सन्तु ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः. We finished the fifth section and we have to start the sixth section. The main upasanam discussed until now in this eighth chapter of the Chandogya Upanishad is Daharakasha Brahma Upasanam. So briefly called Dahara Brahma Upasanam or Daharopasanam. And you know very well it's meditation upon the one's own, the Dharakasha, the small space obtaining within one's heart as Brahma is Dharopasanam. And we know very well Upasanam can only contribute for mental steadiness. Upasanam will contribute for the preparedness required for the knowledge, but upasanam itself cannot give knowledge. Upasanam itself cannot remove ignorance. Therefore, upasanam cannot contribute for moksha also. Indirectly, it contributes for moksha by preparing the mind for knowledge. And if at all the person practices the upasanam very seriously and sincerely, with a total commitment, and such a serious meditator can accomplish the greatest result, which means going to Brahmaloka, attainment of Brahmaloka. There one can attain Krama Muktihi. After going to Brahmaloka, attaining Muktihi is called Krama Muktihi. Isn't it? This much we know generally, is what all the upasanas talk about. And here also, if Daharopasanam, if a person practices this particular meditation called Daharopasanam, prescribed in this, not in this Upanishad, it is not taught how you should meditate, only prescribed. If a person practices Daharopasanam, and then not only he practices Daharopasanam, he also follows strictly the discipline of Brahmacharyam. If a person practicing Brahmacharyam follows Daharopasanam, then doubtlessly this person will go to Brahmaloka and attain Krama Muktihi. That is what was said earlier in the previous section. And then we saw how Upanishad elaborately talked about the greatness of Brahmacharyam just by saying, by practicing all the different disciplines such as Sandrayanam, Ishtam, the Yajna, etc. By following all those disciplines also, whatever result one has to get ultimately, that result can be accomplished even by merely following Brahmacharyam. Which means the practice of merely following Brahmacharyam alone will not take one to Brahmaloka. Understand? The person who is practicing Upasanam, if he also follows Brahmacharyam, that as a supporting, as a supportive discipline, then this person definitely will go to Brahmaloka. So that importance and the greatness of the discipline of Brahmacharyam also was specially, separately discussed in the whole section, the previous section, fifth section. Now Upanishad is going to conclude this topic of Upasanam in this chapter. It has not yet concluded. It is going to conclude this topic of meditation in this following sixth section. What does the Upanishad say here? Let us see. Okay, we know the Upasaka will go to Brahmaloka. He attained Krama Muktihi. That much we know. But how does he go? When you say Upasaka goes to, the meditator goes to Brahmaloka, when does he go? Does he go during the meditation? No. Does he go when he is alive in this world? No. Upasakaha, going to Brahmaloka, means there is a journey, travel. So what sort of a travel it is? We all want to know this. It's very unclear. It's not all clear. What sort of a travel the meditator will have after? No, definitely one thing should be very clear. The going to any other loka, when Shastram talks about going to other lokas, is only after the death. After the death alone, the meditator can go to any other loka. After the death means what? Definitely, the physical body has to be left here itself. After the death means what? The gross physical body, the sthula shariram, will get disintegrated here itself. Shastram does not talk about the traveling of the meditator with the physical body to any of the lokas. Be 100% clear. Physical body is too heavy, it can never be carried anywhere. Even the aircraft, okay? That is why you had to pay a lot of money to go by aircraft also. Imagine. So no travel at all. Physical body will definitely get disintegrated. The minute the departure of Sukshma from this stula is the death. Departure means, then what happens to the Sukshma? The Sukshma continues to survive. The Sukshma only enjoys this stula shariram as an abode of enjoyment. Only then something called experience, enjoyment of the external world is possible for the jiva. Only the person has a sthula shariram. Without this sthula shariram, sukshma shariram by itself also what? Being the instruments of enjoyment. Jiva having the instruments of enjoyment cannot have enjoyment without this sthulam of the external world. And the sthula shariram without the sukshma also will be what? Unoccupied. Isn't it? They're actually vacant house. Not only vacant house, it's a lifeless, a dead, useless body. But this, when you say talk about the journey of the sukshma, please understand one thing. Remember this fact again and again, I'm telling you. Absolute reality, the ultimate truth, being the pure knowledge, the consciousness. There is no such a thing called a movement at all on the part of consciousness. Consciousness is a beginningless, endless, changeless reality. Therefore, consciousness does not move. So it is this consciousness which is implied by the word Atma or Brahma. Does consciousness travel? Does consciousness move? Is there something called journey or travel on the part of Atma, the consciousness? No, not at all. There is no such thing called a journey or travel on the part of Atma, the consciousness. Atma cannot move. Atma does not move because Atma is already all pervasive. There is no loka, known worlds and the unknown worlds. All the worlds, known and the unknown, is what? Object of knowledge. Unknown worlds also, unknown things also. Unknown also is what now? Unknown is something which can become the known after knowledge. Also is what? Object of knowledge. The known is also what? Already known, yet to be known. Unknown or yet to be known. Known or the already known. Already known or yet to be known objects. Isn't it? All of them, no object exists outside of the knower. No object of experience, known or the unknown, can or does exist outside of the knowledge or experience. And isn't it? So the experience cannot be there without the experiencer. You have to understand logically here. The experienced world cannot be without the experience. outside of the experience. How can something be talked about, discussed as an experienced object, if there is no such thing called experience? So experienced, to have the status of being the experienced, there must be experience. And for the experience to be there, there must be the experiencer. And we have understood thoroughly, many times we have discussed, there is no such a thing called experiencer or knower other than consciousness. Experiencer is consciousness, knower is consciousness. And what is experiencer, if you ask? Experience is another term, a name attributed to consciousness from the standpoint of the experience. Therefore, consciousness is, and the consciousness is the swarupam, the very truth of the experiencer. Just as light is the truth of the illuminator, consciousness is the truth of the experiencer. Hope you are all listening to me carefully. Now, and this, therefore, when you say there is no experiencer other than consciousness, there is no experience without the experiencer. There cannot be the experienced world without the experience. Therefore, there is no world outside of consciousness. There is no such a thing called known object, known objective universe. Anything to be known or already known, the object cannot be outside of the consciousness. Is it clear now? Therefore, when the consciousness alone is satyam, the known worlds are all mithya. Is it clear? The next step. If all the worlds are mithya, everything other than consciousness is mithya, the jiva status is mithya, everything is essentially consciousness. Every jiva is consciousness, all the jivas are consciousness, all the minds are consciousness, all the sense indriyani are consciousness, all the devatas are consciousness, all the entire material world is nothing but essentially consciousness. Essentially. Therefore, everything else other than consciousness is what? Mithya. Consciousness alone is satyam, everything else is mithya. I'm developing step by step. Hope you're all with me. I'm repeating what you already know. I'm not teaching something new. If everything else is mithya, what about something called a journey, travel? Travel or consciousness does not travel. There's no journey on the part of consciousness. Journey is something which happens on the part of the mithya namarupas. Everything other than consciousness can be reduced to what? Subtle or gross is material forms and names. The mithya, so if at all there's movement on the part of the anything, all movement is also what? Can there be something called movement outside of the consciousness? Journey or travel. Nothing can happen outside of consciousness. Therefore, the journey is also what? Mithya. Travel is also mithya. And we have to shift the eye sense from where? Everything else, and bring it to the awareness cognitively, the consciousness. That is where you can say what? You know, Atma is free from everything. Atma is free from movements. That's why achalaha sthanuhu is the meaning of the word Atma. Therefore, if at all there is, we will talk about, the Shastram talks about the jiva. So, jiva's movement also is what? Mithya. It's not tucham. And this jiva moves means, any movement happens to happen within the realm of this consciousness alone, it's a different plane of experience. Like if I say you have a journey from waking to the dream. In dream, where do you go? How far do you go? In dream, you have an experience. You fall asleep, then you have a dream. In the dream, you go for a holiday. Of course, you're planning for 1 week, go somewhere. And then you could not go. And all the plans you had somehow get jumbled thoughts, and you have some journey. And the dream, you go to different places and you see things also. Some may be known, some may be, you know, all you're thinking, all that somehow you have your own this journey within the dream. And that journey, can you say that your experience of the journey to be unreal? Is it real or unreal? Tell me. The dream journey, is it, I'm asking English word, is it real or unreal? Relatively real, subjectively real. Appa, you gave this answer, I'm so happy. I can go back to India now, no problem. Which means what? At least thoughtfully you gave the answer. It is not unreal, it is subjectively real, relatively real. But it is, did you travel anywhere? Was there any physical travel on your part? No. But still I can say there was a travel. There is a different plane of experience. Is it clear now? Waking is a different plane of experience. Dream is a different plane of experience. In the same way, going to Brahmaloka is also what? Another plane of experience. Okay? But still, imagine if you attain moksha in dream, waking up, you come back. You can recollect, really, it's good. You can recollect, yes, you had a teacher who really seriously did. I was 100% clear about Satma Jnanam. Yes, I'm just telling you. The same way, here also. But this whole journey is what? At least dreams are something which happens when you are in the body. But this journey happens only after you leave the physical body. Therefore, going to Brahmaloka, even though we call it travel and all that, still, this is a travel. But it is not something absolutely real travel. It's a mithya travel. Within the mithya travel, but attainment of knowledge is also what? Mithya. Attainment of moksha is also mithya. Then what is satyam? Consciousness alone is satyam. There is no absolute attainment of freedom. There is no absolute bondage also. There is no real bondage. There is no real attainment of moksha. Everything is relative. Only one thing which is absolute is what? Consciousness, the reality. This you should not forget. Okay? But still, moksha is possible. With this background, I want to start today's class. And here, this upasaka, how does this jiva, there's something non-provable, non-disprovable. Whenever the Shastra talks about the world's lokas, that's why other cultures also talk about the worlds. In Veda also it is discussed about the worlds, going to other lokas, heaven, etc. Even the Shastram talks about it, Shastram makes it very clear, it is not an absolute, ultimate goal of human life, human being. That's not. Our ultimate goal is, in fact, the discovery of what is already there, not something attained at all, something for knowledge only. But here this is we talking about the attainment of the lokas. And therefore, because Shastram talks about it, just as your dream experience is non-provable for you, non-disprovable for other person, isn't it? If you come and talk about your dream experience, can we disprove your dream? Nobody can disprove other person's dream. Or can the person who dreamt prove his dream? It's non-provable, non-disprovable. And such a non-provable, non-disprovable is non-verifiable. Therefore, it's what now? It's always, we take it as a matter for belief. We do not undermine it as something unreal, nor do we overvalue it something real. We take it as something matter for belief. And because it is not our ultimate goal also, we do not take it very seriously. We are very focused, we are very clear, we are very clear about the Purusharthas. We are not at all interested in moksha, so not at all interested in going to heaven. And we know moksha is, moksha also, if we use the word moksha, if we do not understand what moksha is, we will not be interested in moksha also. Because we analyzed the moksha, what moksha is, how can you have desire for something which you do not know at all? If you have not tasted Tirupati laddu ever in your life, if I ask you, do you want laddu, you will definitely say, I don't want. I don't like it. But if I say, somebody who has tasted the laddu at least once, laddu, if you say, have you got? You will ask. If a diabetic, I tell you, you will love it. So what I'm saying, you can never have a desire for something unknown. That is why, even though the word moksha, when we hear, In fact, it frightens people. Moksha always reminds people of death. Therefore, we are frightened of the word moksha. And when we otherwise, we are not interested. The word moksha is always associated with the death, old age, sickness, and not being able to enjoy anything in the world. Which is likable, tell me? Nothing is desirable. That is why people never think about it. When the Purusharthas are all analyzed, what are all the human pursuits, what is artha, what is kama, what is dharma, what is moksha, and you are made to see thoroughly only, Swami Dayana Saraswati makes it very clear. You are made to see clearly, is there a fifth Purusharta? No. All of them had to be reduced to only four. And when you see, understand Purusharthas, that is when you understand even the meaning of the word moksha, then you discover this fact, first of all, it is a choiceless end. Because you understand what moksha is, then you don't need to be asked, you know, to pursue moksha. You find out, you're all the time, you're searching only for that. And then, then that context, you find out what? Oh, understand the value of the knowledge. Therefore, you are interested in the attainment of knowledge. Who will care for knowledge if we do not know that it is the only buying power for the end called moksha? Who will care for knowledge? Are we all interested in attaining knowledge of the truth? We are not at all interested in knowledge of the truth. Our interest in knowledge of the truth is because of the value of the knowledge of the truth. And we know what knowledge can do. Knowledge alone can do. Therefore, we are interested. Similarly here, when we are very clear, therefore, as people who are jignasu bhaktas, as mumukshus, and we are also now we study very objectively this topic of upasanam, not disrespecting it, with the great respect, because it also forms part of the Upanishadic teaching. We are interested in knowing what it is. At the same time, we are not interested in going to Brahmaloka, because we know the even though we do not understand this attainment of Brahmaloka, the journey, travel, etc., even though we know the limitation of it, you know, we know what it is, still, what now? Even we know all these things, really, but we are not, really, we don't need to prove it or disprove it. We can objectively understand what it is. And here, therefore, we understand it as what is taught here. The Upanishad says, how does the journey happen? after the death, the person travels, the jiva travels. Jiva means what? The sukshma shariram, the consciousness, isn't it? Here, of course, Atma is always there. The I sense, the resolved I sense, ahankara, the knowledge I am, obtaining of a thought which is resolved in the mind, along with the mind, isn't it? The mind leaves. Mind leaves. Sukshma leaves. But here the Shastram talks about the nadis. What is a nadi? It's a non-dissectable, subtlest nerve-like thing. Not available for any medical dissection and all that. People have different views about it. Anyway, there are nadis. And these nadis go in all directions. Some go upwards, some go vertically, some go downwards. So many nadis are there. But the nadis which from the heart alone, from the top of the heart, the nadis go upwards. And those nadis which go upwards, and they really touch the Brahmarandram, called the opening in the skull, called Brahmarandram. Can you see through physical eyes? No. We can have the dissection of our heart and lung, etc. We can hear, but we can't see just this. Not at all available. Ta Shastram talks about those nadis. There are many nadis. They say 101 nadis. And the most important of the nadis is called Sushumna Nadi. We talk about the Pingala Nadi also, but Sushumna Nadi is goes upwards. So, and there are two paths. Two paths Shastram talks about. One is called Pitruyanaha, another one is called Devayanaha. This Pitruyanaha is called Krishna Gatihi, Devayanaha is called Shukla Gatihi. And through these gatis, in keeping with the amount of punyam the jiva has, if he has abundance of punyam, which one has earned by doing the appropriate meditation, karma rituals, etc., more punyam, that the jiva can travel through shukla gatihi, called devayanaha, and he can, soul or path, a bright path, he can go to brahmaloka. So, because less punyam, he can go through the Pitruyana, otherwise called the dark path, the lunar path, Chandra Gatihi, Krishna Gatihi, so many names we have. He can go and go to Pitruloka. But going to any other loka, one has to come back after the punyam is exhausted. So, there is no moksha guaranteed. Only for the person who goes, travels through Shukla Gatihi, goes to Brahmaloka alone, is promised Krama Muktihi. Only Shastram says, we are understanding. Don't ask me whether I have visited this or whether I known somebody, met somebody who came back and told me. No. The person has gone to Brahmaloka, cannot come back and talk to you. He will attend Krama Muktihi, no more returning. And without having gone there, can I talk about it? Shastram says, we are reproducing like a parrot. We do not know. But still, we are very clear what we are not really. We know the limitation of it. We know what we want is different. Okay. And here, one more thing. These nadis, what is special in this Upanishad is, this Upanishad talks about the Surya Rashmayaha, Surya Kiranaha, the rays of sun. The sun's rays, it seems, they come downwards from the sun. No, they emerge from the sun, Surya, they come downwards and they travel through these nadis, which means they must be breaking open the skull. And they're piercing open the skull and must be traveling through our nadis. They go up to the heart. Sun's rays, not only they come from the sun, they stop with the skull. We think what? They stop with the skull. We do not know. But they, Shastram says, they even through the piercing through the skull, they even enter through into the nadis, they go onto the heart. Who says? This Upanishad says. And what is the proof that, therefore, that is why when this person, the Upasaka, when he dies, through this nadi, Sushumna nadi, this person leaves, and through Sushumna nadi, and because the nadi is connected to what? The Surya Kirana, through the rays of sun, it goes to the solar path, is implied by the word sun's rays. He goes to Brahmaloka. Okay, even Mundaka Upanishad is mentioned that the disk of the sun is looked upon as what? As a door opening, which takes us to the Brahmaloka. It's all mentioned. So here special thing is, what we understand in this Upanishad is, the sun's rays of sun called Surya Kiranaha, Surya Rashmayaha, they really pass through the nadis unto the heart. What do we understand by here? Only understand this much. Okay, we can have our own imagination, but we cannot really show practically. And what is the proof that the sun's rays go into the nadis? And for which Upanishad says, the sun's, we talk about the vibhyar, isn't it? The colors. And here, these nadis also seem to have some colors. The Shastra says the colors are there. The colors of the nadis are because of the passing of this rays of sun. And not only that, Shankara Bhagavatpada in his commentary shows his extraordinary genius knowledge that he has in Ayurveda also. He talks about it. See, there every body has three basic dhatus. Three basic, pitta, vata, kapha. All of us must have pitta, vata, kapha. But one must be predominantly pitta person or pitta constitute. Person can have pritta constitution or vata or kapha. And each pitta has what now? Pitta has the sun's tejas called saura tejas. Say no? Saura tejas. Saura tejas means suryasya tejas is called saura tejas. The solar, the tejas of the sun, the agnitatvam. So here, the pitta stands for agnitatvam. Vata stands for vayutatvam. And kapha stands for jalatatvam. Pitta, vata, kapha. And in our way that is mentioned, because pitta stands for agnitatvam, which is called actually the sun's tejas, the provost of sun, it is what of pingala varnaha. It has what color now? Pingala varna. Pingala means golden color. And kapha has, vata has what now? Vata, he gives different colors also here. Vata has neelam, blue color. And kapha has red, yellow. Shonitam, called red color, red. That is, the colors are also mentioned. Golden color, blue color and red color. So, Shankara says, the dhatus have these colors also. Therefore, what? Definitely, the sun's rays must be coming into the, not only they're above the head, they go into the head also, which means they also go through these nadis unto the heart. So, all information. Nothing is going to be clear for you more than this. Okay? And this is only through this nadis, the jiva travels. So through this rashmis, they go to the solar disk and they enter there. They go to the Brahmaloka, they attain mokshaha. This is the content of the mantra we are going to study. Let's read quickly now. If I prepare like this and talk, it'll be easy. Isn't it? Okay. Athaya Yetaha ஹ்ருதயஸ்ய நாட்யஹ தாஹ பிங்களஸ்ய ஆநிம்னிஹி திஷ்டந்தி. See, atha, then, now he's going to talk about it now. Upasakasya, now upasakaha katham brahmalokam prapnoti. How does the meditator, after he finishes his prarabdha, goes to brahmaloka, that is being said here. Yaha yetaha hridayasya nadyaha, those nadis of the heart. Nadis of the heart means what? The nadis which begin from the top of the heart and go upwards to the Brahmarandram, the hole and the skull, and which join the, thereby then go up to the Brahmarandram. Those nadis, taha nadyaha. Taha, those are pingalasya. They go up to the this Brahmarandram and they stand there. Tishtanti. And there he says, Shuklasya, Neelasya. See them? Shuklasya. See? Neelasya, Peetasya, Lohitasya, Iti, Lohitasya. Plus iti, a plus e, ya, yakara has come, yan sandhi. Okay, lohitasya, no, iti, iti plus aso, ityaso. The two yakaras have come, yan sandhi you have to note. Lohitasya plus iti, and iti plus, no, okay, aso. Va, now he says, how does now this nadis look? What now? All have all these different colors. Shuklam, white, neelam, blue, pitha, yellow, lohitaha, red. Va, adityaha, pingalaha, eshaha, neelaha, eshaha, pitaha, eshaha, lohitaha. What does it mean here? Asava adityaha. The sun also has varieties of rays in many rays, and those rays also have different colors. What are the colors? Pingalaha golden color, neelaha blue color, peetaha yellow color, lohitaha red color. Like this, different colors. The sun's rays have different colors, and these nadis also have different colors. Which nadis? The hridayasya nadyaha. And which, there's so many nadis. But here the nadis are talked about, nadis which go upwards. And here Upanishad says, how can, what about the sun's rays have colors, nadis have colors, which means these sun's rays go through the nadis and they touch, they also go up to the heart. That's the teaching. Okay, next sentence. Tadyatha Mahapatha Atata Ubhaugramau Gacchati Imamcha Amamcha Evameva Etaha Adityasya Rashmayaha Ubhau Lokau Gacchanti Imam Cha Amam Cha Amushmat Adityat Pratayante Taha Asunadishu Suptaha Abhyaha Nadibhyaha Pratayante Te Amushmin Aditye Sriptaha. I will tell you like a story, okay? See here, just listen, nothing. Now what Upanishad says, these nadis go up to Brahmarandram And beyond, above this Brahmarandram, what is there? So, sun's rays, Rashmihi, singular. Ikarantaha, Strilinga Shabdaha. Rashmihi, Rashmi, Rashmayaha. The many rays of sun. And these rays of sun, they travel through the nadis. Therefore, nadis also become colorful. That's what we understood. Now here, therefore he says, these nadis, now continue with what? Through the rashmis. Therefore, now Buddha said, this long path, isn't it? Swamiji was saying on there, like the big road, like how a highway or any national, no, any highway or a motorway here, motorway connects two cities, isn't it? Motorway connects even two, international also. Not only between Japan, from Germany, any European country, the road comes here. International, the motorway connects two nations, two cities, two towns and two villages like that, isn't it? So any big road can connect two important cities. And then here, how we have international motorway in here. Now we have what now? Interplanetary also. Road. It says that. It connects what? Bhuloka and Suvarloka. Suvarloka is what? Brahmaloka is Suvarloka. And where are we now? Bhuloka. And Bhuloka and Suvarloka are connected. By which path? Solar path. Bright path. Shuklagatihi. Devayanaha. And this is called Mahapataha. You motorway itself, we call it a Mahapatha. It's not like Croham Valley Road, isn't it? Which connects it to that house and this house. Some 10, 15 houses are connected. It's not a Croham Valley Road, or it's not even like Olive Drive. Okay, nobody knows. Olive Drive is Surga. You don't know that. But here what now? This is the Mahapataha. Mahapataha. Big road, subtlest road, subtlest path, Mahapataha. Why Mahapataha connects not two cities, not two nations, not two lokas it connects. Which loka? Bhuloka and Suvarloka are connected by these two lokas. So, that's why he says, Tade, that nadi, this nadi is the what now? This nadi through which the solar rays pass. This nadi is like what? Because it is connection with the solar path, it's like what now? The Surya Rashmis are like the big road connecting two lokas. So, yatha Mahapataha. Atataha ubhau gramau gacchati. It's one big road connects two villages. It goes to two villages. It begins from one village, goes to another village. Gacchati. Ubhau gramau gacchati. Statha. In the same way, imam cha amum. Imam cha amum means what? This loka, bhuloka. And amum means suvarloka. Amum cha yeva. Yeva meva. In the same way. Yetaha adityasya rashmayaha. This in the same way. Just as a big road connects two cities. In the same way. Tatha. Yetasya adityasya rashmayaha. These rays of sun also. So form the big, they connect the Bhuloka, this world of mortals, and Brahmaloka, Suvarloka. Rashmayaha, yetau lokau gacchanti. Gacchanti means what? Gacchanti plus imam gacchanti imam savarnadirgasandhi. Okay. Adityasya rashmayaha, rays of the sun. Hope practice of Akaran Shabda helps, isn't it? Adityasya Rashmayaha. Rays of the sun which serve as the Shuklagati, the the solar path is a big path, big road. They connect what now? Amamcha, imamcha. Imam, this world, Bhuloka. Amam, that world, Brahmaloka. They, what now? They gachanti. They go to that loka. Therefore, Surya Rashmis come from the sun and they connect to this world. Therefore, they connect it to lokas. Like interplanetary road. Which we can't even imagine, isn't it? And we can't do Saturn also. Okay, gachanti. So, imam cha amum cha means what? Imam cha amum cha amum cha amum. So, I had to send the class separately now. Okay. Cha amushmat cha amushmat cha amushmat adityat pratayante. But now, these rashmis, where do they come from? Adityat pratayante. They begin, they emerge from the sun, the solar rays emerge from the sun and they pass gum downwards. They come, travel. They are there. How far? They don't even stop at the skull. They enter into the nadis and go to the heart. Therefore, what happens now? Where is Jiva sitting? Jiva is here, isn't it? Jiva is all over. Where the Jiva status comes? Jiva from here, from this loka, from this bhuloka, he can go travels. Only take the special road, does not need to go into any other road, no vehicle is required. No, really, no vehicle, no driver, no petrol, nothing. Isn't it? No fuel, and no time also, isn't it? And he goes to Brahmaloka. Why? That road connects. Therefore, asu nadishu suptaha abhyaha nadibhyaha pratayante. So, they first, the jiva resolves in that nadi and through this nadis, he goes to what now? Amushmat aditya suptaha, which means they are connected here. The rays of the sun, because they pass through the nadis. Now, when the jiva travels through this nadi, through this, again, solar rays, they go straight into Brahmaloka. Is the path is made very clear. Okay? Which path does the Jiva travel is very clear. Okay, now next sentence. Which means through these nadis, they go, abhyaha nadi bhyaha pratayante. They go to these nadis, te amushmata aditya suptaha. They go to Brahmaloka, and there they resolve. Okay. Tad yatra yetat suptaha samastaha samprasannaha swapnam na vijanati asu tada nadishu sruptaha bhavati tam na kanchana papma sprishati tejasahi tada sampanno bhavati. Okay, beautiful example. Upanishad gives a very beautiful example. How does the jiva after the death leaves the physical body and travels through the Sushumna Nadi, which goes up to Brahmarandra, and from there, what is the path now? The sun's rays, which form like a big motorway, which connect to the Brahmaloka, through that they travel, isn't it? Through the solar rays, they travel to Brahmaloka, there they attain moksha. That here next mantra, Upanishad gives an example here. What is the example? See, Upanishad says, please listen very carefully. Upanishad says that this nadi has some connection with our deep sleep state. in deep sleep state, what happens to all of us? Why we do not have, in deep sleep state, suptaha, samastaha, samprasannaha, swapnam navijanati. Whenever we fall asleep, Shastram says, listen, whenever we fall asleep, even though we are ignorant, we all, it seems, every jiva in deep sleep state remains resolved in this nadi, it seems. Even when you remain resolved in the nadi, what happens? Whenever you resolve in the nadi, tada, you do not even know dream, you do not, swapnam na vijanati, then the waking world also you do not know. Nadisu sruptaha, nadisu sruptaha means the residing in this nadi. When you reside, when you remain resolved in the nadi, we do not understand. Upanishad says, every day in sleep, every jiva, you don't go to Brahmaloka, you are not qualified to go to Brahmaloka, but you resolve what? Where? In the nadi. Upanishad talks about this nadi. If there is a connection, Upanishad points out the connection between deep sleep state and this nadi. What happens to you in sleep? We resolve there. Then one, whenever you are resolved in the nadi, then na kanchana papma sprishati, then you do not have any punyam or papam. Do you have doership in sleep? Please tell me. Sin does not touch a person in sleep. What does it mean? Sin does not touch a person individual in sleep means the individual does not have doership and enjoyership in sleep. Please understand, punyam papam does not touch us means not having doership and enjoyership is not being touched by punya papa. Understand? Not being touched by punya papa means what? Not having doership and enjoyership. In deep sleep state, no punyam, no papam touches us. Thank God. Why? In sleep, we do not have doership, do not have enjoyership. Why? We do not have any identity. Why you don't have any identity? Because you don't even know you are. Then where are you then? You remain resolved in nadi, it seems. In sleep. Upanishad shows his connection. Don't ask me whether how it is. Okay, what it says? Then, tejasahi tada sampanno bhavati. Then how are you then in sleep? In sleep, you are just yourself. Tejasa sampannaha bhavati. When you are just yourself, you remain as pure knowledge. Every day in sleep, all of us remain as pure knowledge. Now the question might come, are we not pure knowledge now? We are pure knowledge, we are knowledge now also. In sleep also we are knowledge. Whether we like it or not, always we are knowledge only. But unfortunately, in waking, we do not know we are knowledge. And not only we do not know we are knowledge, and we also take the body, inert body, mind, sense complex for the self. Therefore, we are not brilliant knowledge in the waking. Because of our identity with the matter, inert matter, we are not prasannaha. Isn't it? Tejasa sampannaha. We are not pure knowledge in sleep. It is because of our identity. In sleep, what happens? In sleep, you have no identity. And what are you then in sleep? You are yourself. You do not become Brahman in sleep. You remain as Brahman in sleep. For you to remain as Brahman, what should you do? Not do anything. You do not have wrong identity. But in sleep, when you do not have identity at all, you are Brahman. In jnanam, when you have right identity, you are Brahman. When you are not Brahman, in wrong identity, you are not Brahma. Is it clear now? You cannot become Brahman. What? Tejasa sampannaha. You are just bright knowledge. You are knowledge. But in right identity, you are Brahman. In non-identity, also you are Brahman. Unknowingly Brahman. In knowledge, knowingly Brahman. In wrong identity, what? You are not Brahman. So whenever you are Brahman, what happens? Papma, no, punyam papam does not touch you. That's what the mantra says. Na kanchana papma sprishati. Whenever a person, jiva, falls asleep, there is no punyam papam does not touch you. Tejasahi sada sampannaha bhavati. You remain, what now? No, you remain as just yourself. You remain as what? Just yourself. Upanishad wants to say the connection between the deep sleep state and the nadi. In deep sleep state, why the jiva does not have any punya papam, no sukham dukkham, everything? Because jiva resolves in this nadi, it seems. Dissolves, but doesn't travel. Okay? Again, what now? You come back. This is a gift. So, what does Upanishad want to say here? What Upanishad wants to say that just as you are here, in the same way, this jiva, after the death, even every day for you remaining resolved in the nadi, for some time you are Brahma. Traveling through the nadi, going to Brahma Loka, what happens? Definitely, he attains jnanam, he attains moksha. You have temporary moksha every day in sleep, not a permanent moksha. Why? You have to get up, isn't it? You have temporary moksha even when you fall asleep. Imagine going to Brahmaleka through the nadi, attaining jnanam there. Definitely there is. This jiva attains kramamuktihi. Just example. Okay. We'll go to next mantra now. Atha yatraitade balimanam abalimanam nito bhavati tamabhitaha asinaha ahuhu janasimam janasimamiti. So what Upanishad wants to say here, okay. Now Upanishad has said, this jiva goes and then travels through this nadi and rashmi, attains moksha. And this just to say, even every day also, as a jiva, in the resolve, there in the nadi, you have the sukham. And having departed from the body, traveling through the nadi, he goes to Brahmaloka, attains moksha. That is reconfirmed. Now, what he says, when does this person go? About the situation Upanishad talks about. Atha yatra yetad abalimanam neetaha bhavati. This person is about to depart. What now? He may have made whole life, he must have been a very serious meditator. But still, however meditative this person was, nobody can escape the last minute condition, meditator, or yogi, or jnani, or ajnani. Death is inevitable. He becomes what? Weak. Before dying, abalimanam neetaha bhavati. Not balimana, abalimanam. He says, Shankara says, abalimanam, abalabhavam, dehasya rogadi nimittam. Because of age, because of the disease, because of the ailments and pain, what now? The person becomes very physically weak. when he gets abalimanam netaha bhavati, means when he gets very weak, about to die, tam, and that weak person abhitaha asinaha, surrounding him, typical Indian, okay? Abhitaha means what? Around him. Abhitaha means on all sides, okay? Sitting around him, surrounding him. So, abhitaha asinaha, being seated around him, people all grandchildren, sons and daughters and come and talk, ahuhu, they ask, janasi mam, do you know me? They remember me? They want to check whether they want to check how conscious this person is. They are not really interested in knowing. They want to assess when this person is going to leave. If he is very conscious, it will take very long. So to assess when he is going to die, they will want to plan their timing programs. Therefore, they ask whether this person reminds me or not, to know how conscious he is. Janasi mam. Janasi mam iti. Who ask, do you know me? Do you know me? Do you remember me? I am a grandson, first son. Have come from this part. I am a daughter. Your youngest daughter. Remember, you like the people come and tell. And they bring food also. Okay, I had to tell you this, okay? Radhaji may not like it, but still I had to tell you. We also take food. Whatever they like and all, they'll make. Last day na. No food restriction, no diet restriction. Give everything, whatever they want to give. If they can eat, we want to give. they may not be able to eat. That's a different thing, unfortunate thing, you know. Okay. It's true, isn't it? Because I'm telling exactly what's happening in India. That's why I'm telling. Janasimam, janasimam iti abhitaha asinaha. Abhitaha means what? Around him, side, no, sitting around him, these relatives will ask, do you remember me? Saha yavat asmat sharirat anutkrantaha. Yavat, as long as, yavat means what? As long as, the key that I taught you today, yavat kalam, as long as this person remains without having departed from this body. Anutkrantaha. Without having left the body, as long as this person is there, tavata janati. Okay, as long as he remains in the body, he recognizes people. He knows. He may not be able to talk back, but he understands. Janati. But once he leaves the body, then even if they talk, they won't, he will not know. It's all just simple lessons. Yavat asmat sharirat anutkrantaha bhavati tavat janati. As long as this person remains in the body, anutkrant, utkrantaha means who has left. Anutkranta, who's still there, this person recognizes people, knows. Then, atha, you know, atha, yatra, yetade, asmat, sharirat, utkramati, atha, etaireva, rashmibihi, urdham, akramate, no depart, he said. Yetasmat sharirat utkramati. Now when this upasaka, not anybody else, okay? This meditator, only then you can travel through Susumna Nadi and go to travel through solar rays, go to Brahmaloka, not anybody else, okay? Yes. Asmat sharirat utkramati. When this person leaves the physical body, asmat sharirat utkramati. From this body he leaves, then what? Yetaihi eva rashmibihi. Through the sun's rays, surya rashmis, solar sun's rays, which have traveled through the Sushumna Nadi. Is it? Through the solar rashmis, they go what? Breaking open the skull. They were through this Sushumna Nadi, then utkramate, urdvam kramate, they go upwards. Shastram says, those who do not go to Brahmaloka, they're going to attain, come back to this world, attain any other body, they will go to other nadi through other place. Not, they won't go through this, nadi is going upwards. Urdhvam kramate, goes upwards. And when they go upwards, this, the person when he travels, goes upwards, he'll say what? Om iti. Saying Om. Saha Om itiva ha ut va miyate. Saying Om arha, this person what? He goes upwards. Miyate means he goes out. And how quickly he goes? Saha yavat kshipyen manaha tavat adityam gacchati. As he attains the Brahmaloka, as quickly as he wants. How far does it take for the mind to go somewhere? How far does it take for you to go from here to your house? For me, even to India again, I just go and come. Isn't it? Why not India? All of the world I can go and come. We all can go and come mentally within no time. Isn't it? He says, yavat kshipyen manaha. In keeping, you know, which means very quickly this person goes to Brahmaloka. My God, not even racket, okay? Much faster. That's why I said, there's no big journey. It's a different plane of experience. How long does it take for you to be, to just be free, to lose your identity in sleep? As long as you're awake or dull and drowsy, you have problem. Once you get yourself knocked off, you get yourself knocked off. You do not know what happens. Whenever you are knocked off in sleep, how long does it take for you to go to Loka, Brahmaloka? That's why every day you are in Brahmaloka only, in sleep. Only thing is you do not know you are in Brahmaloka. So going to Brahmaloka, really speaking, losing one's identity, losing one's individuality. In total ignorance, you lose your individuality. In total knowledge, you lose your individuality. In half knowledge, half ignorance, you have strong individuality. When you have individuality, because of wrong identity, you have both punyam and papam, sukham and dukkham. When you lose your individuality in total ignorance, you have sukham, but unfortunately you do not know you are sukham. In knowledge, when you lose your individuality, you are sukham. You know you are sukham. Hope you got it. Got it? Very, very, very slowly I'm taking you. And this person who leaves through the nadi, goes upwards, utkramate, then through the nadis, he goes to Brahmaloka. Very quickly he reaches. In keeping, how quickly he wants to go, so quickly he reaches. Gacchati, adityam gacchati. Adityam gacchati means he goes to Brahmaloka. Etadvai khalu, say no? Etadvai khalu, lokadvaram. The sun is the entrance to Brahmaloka. Through the solar energy, solar rays, he goes to the sun, and that is the solar, which is the entrance to Brahmaloka, and he goes lokadvaram. Vidusham prapadanam. Say no? Vidusham prapadanam. Here, vidusham prapadanam means, vidusham here means, the word vidush means a wise person, but here meditator, upasaka. Vidusham Prapadana means attainable only by meditators. He goes to Brahmaloka, which is attainable only by Upasakas, not by anybody else. Nirodaha Avidusham. This entrance to Brahmaloka, this Lokadwaram, this sun Lokadwaram, entrance to Brahmaloka is what? Attainable only for meditators. Nirodaha Avidusham. It is blocked for the non-meditators. What is blocked for the non-meditators? Entrance into Brahmaloka. That's why we are all in sleep. What happens? We try to go there also, isn't it? We cannot go. Why? Because the Lokadwaram is blocked for us. Nirodaha. Nirodaha means what? Blocked. Lokadwaram, entrance to Brahmaloka, is blocked for non-meditators and is attainable and open only for meditators. And this meditator who goes through these nadis, leaves the body through these nadis, goes to Aditya, the entrance to Brahmaloka, which is open for him, and he goes to Brahmaloka. That ends Krama Muktihi. Okay, I just finished that one more sentence. I know it's time. One more sentence. We'll read and finish the section. Tadesha Shlokaha. And here, Kathopanishad mantra is mentioned here. Shatan Chaikacha. Chaikacha. Hridayasya Nadyaha. Tasam. Murdhanam. Abhinisritaika. Okay. He says, Shatam cha eka hridayasya nadyaha. Shatam means 100. Eka means one. Nadi is a strilinga shabda. Feminine general word. Okay. There are 101 nadis. Tasam of them. Murdhanam abhinisrita eka. The one nadi goes straight to upwards towards the Murdha head. Tayoho urdhvam urdhamayan amrutattvam eti. Tayoho means through that nadi and the solar ray. Through the nadi and the solar ray, urdhvam ayan, going upwards, amrutattvam eti. This meditator attains immortality. Is it clear? Urdhvam ayanne amrutattvam eti. Meditator, he understood here. Mentioned is not mentioned. This person departing through that path, he attains. Attains immortality means what? Attains krama muktihi. Okay. Now Upanishad wants to say, Vishwanganya utkramane bhavanti. Utkramane bhavanti. What he says is called Sushumna nadi goes upwards. Now he says, Vishwang anyaha. Anyaha nadyaha. There are many other nadis which do not go upwards, which go all over. Vishwang means what? In all sides. There are nadis which go all sides. Vishwang means the nadis which go all the sides, not only upwards. And those people, anyaha, utkramane bhavanti, and the people who travel through these other nadis, no, utkramane bhavanti, they have to come back. They cannot attain moksha. Utkramane bhavanti. Utkramane bhavanti means they cannot attain moksha. Only for returning. Utkramana means they only for returning, not for non-returning. These people go with the return ticket. And that person goes with one-way ticket. So he does not return. Who? Upasakaha goes with the one-way ticket, does not return. The non-meditators who cannot travel through the particular craft, you know, Sushumna Nadi, And they, other than so many nod is Vishwang Anyaha. So many nod which goes sideways. And they, the non-meditators going to any other nadi, they come back in keeping Punya Papa. So we all must have looked through Vishwang Nadis in the previous Janma. We are here. We did not travel through what? That's very clear, isn't it? Iti Shashtaha Khandaha. Iti Shashtaha Khandaha. Upasana topic is over. Be happy. So what comes next? Nirguna Brahma Vidya. Now comes the actual Vedantic teaching. From the next section, from the 7th to the 12th, we have all about Atmajnanam, self-knowledge, moksha. So whatever things we must have clearly understood in the 6th chapter and 7th chapter also, we will understand in this 8th chapter, in these following sections. And after the 14th, Upanishad will be over. So we'll try our best to finish this Upanishad lesson in the... In people who missed the class today also, you have not really missed much. You know? But people who have come also very good. At least your presence made me feel interesting about the teaching. So we can learn. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate. Om Shanti 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 Harihi Om Tat Sat Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Harihi Om.